Praise team, that was awesome. Good stuff. I don't know about you, but I love songs that are eschatological, which means talking about the end times, because I do believe that he's coming back again. I hope you do too. And I can't wait. You know, I kind of have a mixed feeling about that last song where it says, when I have to stand in front of him and say, I know you love me. Man, that's going to be scary, because he knows everything I've done, but he still loves me. Praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful for the tech team. I don't tell them enough, but they've done a great job back there with the lights and the sound, and Carrie and Randy and all those guys back there. I appreciate them. Grandma, I'm glad you're here today. My mom-in-law, I know the kids are glad to see you. You've been sick, but you're feeling good. Praise the Lord for that, and you're here with us today. Hope you have a copy of God's Word. If you don't, we have several in the back. Brother Harold Griffin makes sure of that. He keeps us in the Bibles. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and Stacy or somebody will bring you one. We have several copies. I want you to have your own copy of God's Word with you this morning. I have a great message, I believe, today. It's one of them weeks where, as a pastor, you know, there's a few pastors in here, and you guys will get this. It's one of them weeks where I woke up Monday, and the first thing I say when I wake up Monday is, Sunday's coming. And you have to be ready on Sunday, and you got to have a great message. And last week, God poured his heart out into me, and I loved last week's message, and had a lot of people download that and email me for that, and I appreciate that. It was all God's glory. But today I have one, and it wasn't until Friday night where I just laid down and I said, God, you're taking me in six ways. I need one. And Friday night, about 12:30 at night, God said, well, all right, I've held you long enough. Sunday's coming. And he gave me a great word. I've just been excited like crazy since Friday night about this message. So get your copy of God's Word. Go to Genesis chapter 22. Now, let me share with you briefly where I've been in my heart and what's going on in my life during this Thanksgiving time and during these holidays, if we'll call it that. And I'll show you what's going on. I'm in school right now, and I'm almost to my last semester before I graduate from Golden Gate in May, and it's a real tough semester. And so what I'm doing in school right now is they've asked me to write an article, and they've asked me to do some things that have stretched me in school. And I want to show you where I was going. This is not the message, but I want to show you how this helped create the message, if you will. Carrie, if you'll start up there. I've been writing an article called The Attack on All Things Christian. You'll see in your notes, get a pencil and get ready. Make sure it's sharp because you're going to get some notes today. And it's all going to be up here on the board. Sit up in your seat, buckle your seatbelt, whatever you got to do. We're going to go today, so hang in there. But The Attack on All Things Christian has really been on my heart. Not only because of school, but just because of the time, the Christmas season and the Advent and all that stuff. And the first thing that I wanted to share with you this morning was basically the unity of the Christian church. I believe that when we talk about the attacks on all things Christian, I believe the unity of the Christian church is one thing that's being attacked like crazy. And today's message draws out of that. The second thing that I see is the testimony of the Christian life. I kind of preached on that last week. I know I stepped on some toes, but I meant to. We need to be careful and watch how our life is lived out as Christians. And the attack on all things Christian is the testimony of you and me in this building today. What do I say every week? I'll say right now just to get it out. The world is watching you and me to see a demonstration of God's love and power exemplified through us, God's true church. Amen? Number three, the things that the attack on all things Christian is the health of the Christian family. If you were with me one day all week or every day of my life, my kids know and my family know, as a pastor, I see that the health of the Christian family is under attack. I get calls daily, maybe sometimes more than daily, often many calls in one day. Our families are being attacked, and the health of the Christian family is under attack. And lastly, but not leastly, of course, is the advancement of the Christian gospel. I believe that the devil is attacking all things Christian, number one, to stop the advancement of the Christian gospel. Do you believe that? And so as I prepared to write and preach on these things, I just said, God, I don't get what you want me to say. We know these things. Show me something in the Bible to help me pull this together. Or, you know, Stacy or Trey or one of these other brothers are going to have to preach because I ain't ready. You're supposed to laugh. All right, thank you. Someone said last week that they liked how I was animated and made weird sounds. Well, I'll try today again. I forgot what those sounds were. When you're up here, you don't really remember. But I want you to open your Bible today to Genesis 22. And before you, while you have that, put your finger in there. I want to pray for us this morning. Because I believe that this is one of the most powerful messages that can change your life today that I've ever preached. I'm just telling you. If you're here today, you got lucky. All right? You're lucky. You're going to get blessed today. I pray that you'll get this. So let's pray. Father, man, I just come to you, God, right now, and I say, help us. Lord, we are under attack. All things Christian are under attack. And we know that the gates of hell will not prevail. But Lord, help us today to figure that out. Lord, I pray that through these words today, you'll give us a message that we'll be able to use and spread and leave here with hope and leave here with purpose today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you've been with me very much, you know that I preach to chairs. I preach to the sinner. I preach to the newly born again believer. And I preach to the mature believer. That's the three chairs I preach to when I write sermons. The one I call it, and you don't be offended, I call it the skirt chasing people. The sinner. That's a word that I can use easily, and I understand that. Then the baby believer. A lot of people, you know, we baptized 40 people since January right here on the stage. Praise the Lord. And 7 since October. Those are the baby Christians. And then the mature believers are the ones that are telling people and bringing other people to fill these seats up, see? And let me just be honest with you. If we don't fill this place up in the next few months, we won't be here in a year. I hate to tell you that, but I'm just going to be honest with you. If we don't fill this place up, we won't be here. Churches all over, there's 27 in our association, fixing to be 28. Thank you, Brother Mike. There's only 3 of us that are alive. The rest are dying. And we're at the verge of dying because we don't fill this place up every week. I'm just being honest with you this morning. The attack on all things Christians is happening. Bring somebody with you. Well, we don't like the way the preacher preaches. Well, I don't know what to say about that. You got to like the music now. We're getting so much better in our music. We're trying to get all this stuff going. Just stay with me. Open your Bibles to chapter 22 of Genesis. I want to show you verses 1 through 4. I invited a friend last week that hadn't been to church in a long time. He came out of Utah, and he was visiting. I said, come to church. And I said, tear me up. Tell me what I did wrong. The only thing he said I did wrong was, he goes, Billy, I don't have a Bible. I had no idea what you're talking about. So today I'm going to put the words on the screen. This is unusual. I want you to have your own copy of God's Word, but I'm going to make it easy for you if you forgot it today, and it's going to be behind me as well. Follow along with me after I read out of the English Standard Version, Genesis 22, 1 through 4. It says, after these things, and underline that in your Bible. That's the title of my sermon, by the way. After these things, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, underline that. I'm going to come back. You're going to learn some Hebrew today. Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose up early in that morning. He saddled his donkey. I can relate to that. And he took 2 of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Underline this verse 4. This is our sermon today. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place from afar. Afar. That's not an English word we use a lot, but I like it. It's way over there. It's afar. All right. The people from the south got that. Everybody else is going, what did he say? From afar. The Bible says here that as I went through the first 4 things that I showed you, God, all this attack on all things Christian, God, show me what to do, and I'm getting geared up to fight the devil and to say, devil, get back, and I'm going to James, which I love, and it says, you know, resist the devil and he must flee. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God said, I want you to read about Abraham, brother Abraham. I'm going, but God, I got to take on the devil, and we're going to conquer this thing. And he said, go to Abraham. All right. So I turned to Abraham, you know, Genesis 22, and the first words are, after these things. And I got to thinking about our church. I think about our church a lot, by the way. Take this phrase, and I think I have it for you. Abraham started out knowing where he was, verse 4, but he didn't know where he was going. But now he knows where he's going, but he doesn't know where he is. Can you guys relate to that? One guy said, oh, me. But yeah, amen. Billy, Pastor, you're changing the name of the church. You're adding other churches, starting new churches. You're leading us to buy the land next door and build a church December 2nd in front of the school board. We don't really know what to do at Sunday school anymore because we changed that into life groups. See, I'm listening there. I know what you guys are saying. I hear your cry. Pastor, you know, you start out, you know where he was, but he didn't know where he was going, Abraham said. But now he knows where he's going, but he don't know where he is. And many of us in our lives today, God has shown me. I also hear you. Last week, and I see somebody here, and I also heard the blessing, there, by the way, and I won't point you out, but I heard the blessing. People come up to me after they leave church and say, Pastor, we're going through it, man. We're going through it. There ain't no, how are we going to make it? See, we don't know where we are, and we don't know where we're going. But I want to show you today that this is okay. We may not know where we are today, but God has given me the vision to know where we're going. I've already seen it. I'm about to get excited about it. I know that we're going to reach and teach this community for Christ. And God has shown me through these scriptures how we're going to do it. So stay with me. See, today people are in a severe trial of faith. If you turn on any news, CNN or Fox, you're going to see that today we are in a severe trial of faith. Most of us don't know where the next meal is going to come from because of the economy. Most of us don't know if we have a job to go to tomorrow because of the economy. Most of us don't know how to get along with our family, our wife and kids and spouse because of the economy. Well, let's get over the economy and let's give that to God today, and I'm going to show you how. See, most of us have a vision from God where we are going, but we don't understand why we are where we're at right now. God, you showed me that if I would just raise my family up in tithe, I could do great things through God. But God, I can't even give to my church today because here I am and I'm about to lose everything. My neighbor, three doors down, moved out yesterday. Their house got auctioned. My heart breaks for them. And I see it all over the place. And I know that God has given all of us in here a vision. Our vision at this church is to reach and teach men and women, boys and girls, about and for Christ. And we have to remember that vision. See, we are in a seemingly three-day journey. I get this three-day thing. Some of you people that exegete a lot, really look at verse 20. Look at chapter 22, verse 4. Basically, it says this. Abraham got where he was, and he knew where he was, but he looked out, and he could see for 3 days. That's how it says it. Three-day journey. He's going, huh, I'm going to be on top of that mountain in 3 days. Me, my son, and no lamb. He's on a three-day journey of confusion. He's seemingly on a journey of the unknown toward a place of confusion, a place of this where you wake up and say, God, I don't understand what you're doing in my life. A place where you say, God, I don't know what you, I know what you showed me, but I don't know where I am and how to get there today. Do not let the enemy take your vision and dream that God has given you for your life. Hear me today. God, I know where I'm going, but I don't know where I am right now. Can most of us say that? God, I know that my family's on its way to do great things through Christ, but I don't know where I'm at right now. I couldn't get up at 4 o'clock and go buy stuff at Target because I didn't have the money, you're saying. God, I know where I want to go and I want to do great things for Christ, but I don't know where I'm at right now. It's not the devil that's attacking us, all things Christian people. God is shaking us like he did Abraham after these things. I was going in the wrong direction. So Friday night at 12:30, when God woke me up and said, will you just listen? And I said, yeah, I only got 2 days. Called Brother Pillow, my father-in-law. Can you preach for me Sunday? He said, I'm already in Black Canyon. I said, can you cancel there and come here? He said, man, I can't. I got to preach Sunday, God. It's 12:30 Friday night. Lord, what am I going to preach on? You won't give it to me. And he said, you're going the wrong way. It's not the devil. It's me that wants to get your people's attention. I couldn't believe it. God said, wow, I want to show you just real quick after these things. Go to 22:1. After these things, here's Abraham. Picture this. Stay with me, please. After these things, look at Genesis 12:2. I've got it on the board for you as well. It says, I will make you a great nation. You know, Genesis 12 just happened to come before Genesis 22. If you went to Gilbert, I had to tell you that. You might got a little confused there. Hope there's no Gilbert teachers in here. That's where I went, K through 12. And I know that we're not that dumb, but I like to pick on us. It says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. I will show you blessings. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in all the families of the earth, because of you, shall be blessed. And now he's sitting there with his son, fixing to go on a 3-day journey of confusion, a 3-day journey of I don't know what God's doing in my life, a 3-day journey of where am I, God? And you're telling me a couple years ago that I was going to be great. Anybody say, oh, I can relate? After these things. Now, I realize Genesis 22:17 comes before Genesis 22:4, just for you critics. But I want you to see Genesis 22:17. Blessings, I will bless you. It should be on your board. And I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens and as the sand of which the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of all your enemies. And your seed of all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you, Abraham, have obeyed my voice. Go to Galatians 3:16, or don't go there, write it down and look on the board. But write it down and read it later. Galatians 3:16, New Testament if you want. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to the seeds as of many, but as of one. Abraham's seed, your seed who is in Christ. After these things, and I got to thinking about after these things, he knew he was going to have greatness, and he knew that he was going to be the father of all this chosen ones. So I thought a little bit farther, and I wrote it down like this. Here are the things that he went through, 1 through 5. God promised that he would be great. God said he would be called the son of the highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. It's right here on the board. I know I'm going fast. Write down the highlights. So let's look at Abraham a little bit deeper. The man of God seems to be confused. He's asking what's going on. And I believe the church today is confused. And I need, and you need to ask God, God, what's going on? After these things, I couldn't get that out of my head. After these things. So then I went to the things that were bad in Abraham's life. First, he packed everything he had, and he went into the unknown. He came home as one of the wealthiest men in the land, and he said, hey, Sarah, we're moving. And she said, where? And he goes, I don't know. That way. Go home and tell your wife, hey, we're moving. And when she says, where? You go, I don't know, we're going that way. See what happens to you. I made a little noise trade, you hear it? Second, he had a family split with Lot. And I wrote on here, number one, he relocated. Number two, he had unrepentant children. He had to take his nephews and say, let's just get along. You have the good land, I'll go over here. Can we just be friends? How many of you at Thanksgiving dinner this week left happy with your family? How many of you left mad at them? No idea. They would probably be mad at me because I preached to them. Number three, the thing that happened, he saw Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw community failure. He was there when the salt came down and he was there when the fire came down, and he saw the community that was unreached and ungod. They didn't even know God. They were so into homosexuality. They were into their own thing, and he saw that, and he saw God go, uh-uh. After these things, he watched his son, Ishmael, his first son that was born 13 years before Isaac. He watched Ishmael and his maidservant leave his presence and walk out into the wilderness. And it says in the Bible, and Abraham saw him no more. Paige is here, and I'm thankful for that. But when she leaves, I always worry. Well, I hate when she leaves. And Abraham knew that he would never see his son again. And I wrote after that, divorce. That's what God gave me. Divorce causes this hurt that Abraham... Then he saw his wife kidnapped and thrown into a wicked king's harem. And I wrote on the word adultery. He had to put her into a harem where the king, if he wanted to, could have her and rape her. After these things, trauma. He had to have faith in God. Amen? After these things, how? Now let's get to the good stuff. Isaac in Hebrew means laughter. See, when God told Sarah and Abraham, hey, you're going to have a baby, and she went, I'm 90. And he went, oh, I'm going to get the last laugh. You're going to have one. And not only are you going to have one, he's going to make great things. And you're going to take him and you're going to show us a picture of Jesus Christ on what I'm going to do with him. So laugh all you want, but God's going to get the last laugh. So Sarah had him and they had him. So now Isaac's growing up. I want you to hear this. This is the main point that God has just poured into my spirit. God gives you a season of confusion, desperation, I think it's going to be on the board, and lostness. Listen to me. This is God's sign that He is about to do great things through you because He has done something in you. Read it. I think it's up there. God gives you a season of confusion. Are you confused today? God will put you in a season of desperation. Are you desperate today? God will give you a season of lostness. And I don't mean, oh, I've lost my salvation. I mean, you just feel plumb lost. I don't know where to go, what to do, how to get out of this. That's lost. Which leads to brokenness. But this, to me, is God showing us a sign that He's about to do great things through you because He's done something in you. Praise the Lord. God told Abraham that he was about to go through the trial of a lifetime. Wait, I've already lost my wife to a harem. I've already lost Ishmael to the wilderness. I've already been separated from my family lot. I've already seen a whole community exploded, and I ain't done yet. The cup always comes before the crown. Get last week's message. Be blessed. Abraham says, wow, I'm fixing to go through the trial of a lifetime. Look at verse 4. This will bless your heart. If it don't, well, let's go to verse 2 because it will. God said, take your son, underline this, your one and only son. Did an exegetical, contextual, hermeneutical review of that word for y'all. And it's Yachid. Everybody say Yachid. 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 Don't spit on your neighbor. Just say Yachid. All right. Hebrew class, everybody spits on everybody. Yachid. Yachid. One and only. And you know the only other contextual verse in the Bible that has the word Yachid in it? Y'all are fixing to shout in a Baptist church. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Yachid. The only other place in the Bible that word's in there, in the context of 22, He uses it again. You'll see it in verse, 18 or 16. Yachid. God told Abraham, take your only son, Yachid, and go sacrifice him on the altar for me. And here's what God showed me. I got goosebumps under this jacket. I don't think you guys are getting it. No one's, I don't know. Somebody get me up a chair so I can sit in and amen myself, will you? Listen, the trial of a lifetime, I think you have this. The trial of a lifetime leads to the experience of a lifetime. The trial of a lifetime leads to the experience of a lifetime. Mike, when I was 40, God called me. That's an experience of a lifetime, I mean, when you go home and say, we're shutting down our businesses and we're going to go to preaching. What? She's still saying that. But anyway. The trial of a lifetime leads to the experience of a lifetime. He lifted up his eyes and he looked. I want to show you three quick scriptures. Genesis 18:2. It's on the board, I think. Maybe not. No, it's not. I didn't give him that one. This is all new. But I want you to get this more than anything in the world today. I'll turn there and I'll read it. Genesis 18:2. Check this out, people. Check this out. It says, he lifted up his eyes and looked. He lifted up. Abraham says, I looked. I lifted up my eyes and looked. And what did he receive? The promise. Genesis 18:2. He looked and he saw the promise. Write down the word promise. Now, Genesis 22:4, back in context, what we're reading today, what's it say? And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place. Write the word place. People, we've got to look where God is. Amen? Quit going like this. Oh, I can't make it. Look up to God and get your promise and get your place. Now, let me, before I give you the third word, you're going to get excited, I hope. Many of us, God has shown me today, many of us today, oh, it is on the board, praise the Lord. Many of us today have received the promise. I came down, oh, I need God. Oh, Lord, come into my life. I receive you as my Savior, and I got the promise. And then the guy that discipled you said, hey, I'm going to tell you something. Remember Romans 8:28, for, you know, all things work together for the good for those who love God and for those who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. And that's a great promise. Amen. You get all excited. And then the next guy, yeah. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, not plans of evil, not plans of anything, but prosperity and love and peace and joy. And you're going, this God thing is good. And then somebody comes up and goes, oh, Philippians 4:13, don't forget that promise, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And that's awesome. These are verses I love. And then the next guy comes up and says, hey, Romans 5:20, where sin may abound, grace abounds much more. And you get all excited and you're going, this promise stuff is so cool. I love God so much, can you tell? And you're going along and you got the promise, but then we stop because we don't lift up our eyes again and get the place. Where does God want you to use those promises? Not only in your home, but in your church. This is the place. Remember the sermon a few weeks ago? Now is the time. Look up. Find the place. Your place, Dad, is in your home with your kids and wife, teaching them about the promises. He first looked up and got the promise, and all of our churches got the promise. Go to any church on Sunday, and they're going to give you that. That's good. Don't hear me wrong. But you better find your place. And our place isn't here. Our place is over there, reaching and teaching people for Jesus Christ. This is temporary. And our place is also in heaven. We need to look up. You know, we sing these songs, and Michelle does a great job. I'm about to get excited and go, this is amazing what God's doing. But most of us are still, and I got a sermon coming on how to worship. That's coming. But we just don't, we got to look up and find our place. And our place is giving God the glory. Man, He sent His Son to die for you to be saved. Check this out. Genesis 22:13. I'm going to snap my glasses on for this one. It's so good. And Abraham lifted up his eyes the third time. And he looked, and behold, behind him was a ram. When you look up the third time, you see Jesus. When you're confused and you're broken and you're hurting and your relationships are falling apart, your money's all gone, look up and see the Lamb, the real Lamb. That's where we're at today, people. Going through this season brings us to the point of seeing the Lamb, and that's Jesus. God told me, and I'm telling you, that our churches need to see the Lamb. We know the promises. We know the place. We need the Lamb. Imagine your only Yachid, and you've got the knife up, and you're going to kill your only Yachid. And then God shows up. I don't know what you're going through today, but I know what I go through, and I need to see Jesus every day. Look what happens. Isaac said, where's the Lamb? And Abraham said, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Say it with me. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And God showed me that most of our churches today, when we're on top of the mountain, when we've already built our buildings, when we've already got where we think we need to be, then we go, oh, the Lord will provide. But it's time today that we're on our knees at the bottom of the mountain with the knife in our hand to say, the Lord will provide. Do you hear me today? Listen, anybody can call Him provider when they're at the top, but when God has you on a journey of 3 days to nowhere, 3 days of confusion, give God the chance to be your provider. Some of you are here today and you're on a journey and you don't know where to turn. Some of you are here today and God has you asking Him questions about what is going on in your life. Some of you are here today and you just got a bad report from your doctor. Some of you are on a journey today of singleness and you're saying, God, why am I single? Why did he or she leave me? Why am I divorced? Why did I get laid off? And I even tithe, I even heard this week. God, it makes no sense. My life makes no sense. Don't wait till you're on the top. Ask God now, call on Him, Jehovah Jireh. He will make the way. I've seen this, people. I don't know how He will help my finances, but Jehovah Jireh. I don't know how He's going to turn my marriage around, but Jehovah Jireh. I don't know how He's going to turn my health around, but Jehovah Jireh. Are you on a journey today? God is with you. Hear me, read my lips. God is with you. He told me to tell you. Now that sounds ridiculous, but I'm telling you, that's all I could hear this week. He told me to tell you, I am with you. You may not know where you're going, but He is with you, and He knows where you're going, so I'm going to get with Him. Praise the Lord. He knows. I'm almost done. Listen to me. I'm going to lose my voice. If you have to understand everything before you trust God and surrender all to Him, you don't understand faith. People, I feel under attack from the devil all the time, and I believe people uses people to attack me, and they always say, Billy, all you see is 5 years from now. Yes, I do. I know where we're going, but I don't know where I'm at right now. I'm just being honest with you. But if I knew where I was at right now, I would never see where we're going because I would lose my faith. That's how I'm wired. And a lot of you aren't. And I love you, and I'm glad you're not because that helps me. But people, if God says jump, I'm jumping. And I don't need to know what the wind direction is and how deep the water is. I'm jumping. And I pray that you'll see that. Listen, if you have to understand everything before you trust God and surrender all, you don't understand faith. Abraham raised his knife. And he had his yachid. I can picture it, people. He had his yachid, and it was something that he loved. It was something that he had not yet committed to God. Hear me. This is the good stuff, people. When you get in the real presence of God, everything unlike God dies. I got to say that one again. I think it might be on the board. It is. It was. And it shall be. When you get in the real presence of God, everything unlike Him dies. People, what is your yachid? Oh, but Pastor, I've had this job for 20 years, and if I don't keep this job, what is your yachid? Oh, Pastor, you know, I'm a young person maybe. I hear all the time, he said he loved me. What is your yachid? What is keeping you from the presence of God? You need to slay that. If you're holding on to any yachid, any bitterness, any unforgiveness, any offenses to other people, you cannot get in the presence of God. Write down Psalm 66:18. For of their iniquities in them, I could not hear them. Half the churches in America today are going, oh God, we need money and we need help and we need you. And he's going, you got so much sin, I can't even hear you. And so therefore, the world has not seen a demonstration of God's love and power exemplified through the true church, because the true church is full of sin. Oh God, help us. Listen, you haven't worshipped until you have worshipped with a knife. I'm speaking metaphorically. Don't go home and start killing everything. God wants you so into His presence that He wants you to pull out your knife and He wants you to slay the things that are keeping you from His Spirit indwelling in your life. And I can just picture God. I can just picture God looking down at Abraham and Isaac, and he's up there like that, and God says, Abraham! Abraham! Now I know. I wish I had a God voice. Now I know. Is that good? I'll do it again if it's that good. Now I know. Right? I had to put you through a trial of a lifetime, but now I know. I know you will receive the promise. I know you'll go to the place, and now I will show you the Lamb, Jesus. I will show you. Can God say to you, did I cover everybody? Now I know. Have you slayed your yachid? Pastor, if I give 10% of what I make, that'd be like $700 a month. Now I know. But since I'll give $200 a month, God says, I can't hear you while you're saying, Lord, help me. Do you see the principle I'm trying to do here, guys? I've been through this. That's the only reason I can preach it. I'm a living testimony of what a jerk looks like. Listen, how about you? Are you on a journey? I'm closing here. Michelle, if you want to play. Are you on a journey to nowhere in your life right now? Do you have a 3-day journey in front of you? Are you 3 days from a divorce right now? Are you 3 days from auctioning your home off like my neighbor right now? Are you 3 days from losing the dreams that God showed you when He saved you through His promises and through His place of what Jesus would do in your life? Are you 3 days away from that right now? Are you 3 days from nowhere in your life? It brings me back to this passage I preached on a few weeks ago, Revelation 6:10. Revelation 6:10 says that the people and the blood are under the altar of God in heaven right now that have passed before us, and they're saying, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? And God told me through His Spirit this week as I studied this lesson, you are asking right now, long. God, how long? How long, O Lord? People, I know that you're going through it. How long, O Lord, do I have to just strive and hurt? How long, O Lord, does my marriage have to be just bad? How long, O Lord, do my finances have to be pathetic? How long, O Lord, until this church can explode out those doors and tell people about you? How long? Well, hold on, people, because this will come. The blessing's on its way. Give God some glory this morning in His house. You are in need, people, hear me today, of a Savior. Your heart cries for a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. He's the only one that can save you. Jesus. Bow your heads with me right where you're at. I want you to think of your trial right now in your life. I want you to think of that thing that's weighing you down and that's keeping you from the presence of God. That thing that you wake up in the morning thinking about, and that thing that you go to bed at night thinking about. That thing that's keeping you from opening your Bible and praying. That thing that's keeping you from the presence of God. I want you to put that in your mind right now. I preached on the mind last week, and I know what I'm talking about. Listen to me. Put that in your mind right now and say, God, how long? Say it to yourself. God, how long? God, how long? Now I want you to say this. God, I surrender all. God, I give this to you. God, I lift my knife to my yachid. And God, I want you to know that now you can use me. God, I want you to know that now, here I am, send me. God, now I want you to know I'll do what I can. I'll do everything I can for the kingdom of God. Now look up here at me this morning. Aren't you happy? Aren't you happy? Aren't you happy you have a Savior that loves you? Stand with me to your feet. Do you need that Savior? Someone's here today that needs that Savior.